Turn with me to Psalm 77 tonight. Psalm chapter 77. Last month I took our memory verse from this psalm. It was verse number 7. And I indicated that I would preach from it at some point in the future, and I'm going to do so this evening. And so let's read here in Psalm chapter 77, beginning at verse number 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Has there ever been a time in your life that your troubles seemed so great that you were overwhelmed? Has there ever been a time in your life that your infirmities were so consuming you, it appeared nothing could comfort or help you? Has there ever been a time in your life that your anxieties were so real that you cannot even remember the good times anymore? If so, then this psalm is for you. Verses 2 and 3 include these words, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord, and my spirit was overwhelmed. I believe that you can divide this psalm up into four different sections. The psalmist's feelings, the psalmist's questions, the psalmist's resolutions, and the psalmist's meditations. And one of the reasons we so enjoy the book of Psalms at different times in our lives is because it does give to us the innermost feelings of people just like you and I. And we see that believers of old, though not weak in faith, felt many times the same type of things that we feel when we encounter troubles or trials or infirmities. And there's very few psalms that reach as deep into the heart of a man than Psalm 77. Last month, our memory verse was taken from verse number 9, which included two questions of the psalmist, and we'll get to those here in just a minute. But what we need to look at first off is the feelings of the psalmist that led him to ask the questions in our memory verse. And so let's look here and see if we can get a better understanding of how the psalmist was feeling. Because when we do that, then we'll see in what type of attitude these questions came about. And so let's look just briefly at the first 6 verses, because I believe these are the verses in the psalm that give to us the psalmist's feelings. This is the first section, the first division of this particular chapter. And In verse number 2 again, he says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. That's a difficult place to be in. A place where your soul refuses to be comforted. You'll notice throughout these first 6 verses that the psalmist over and over again says, I. In the last part of the verse we just read, he uses the pronoun my. But over and over again in the verses that we're going to read here, he says, I. And he expresses in those statements how he feels. And one of the things that we'll find is that he sought encouragement. He sought help. He looked for things that would comfort his heart. But those things that comforted him in the past aren't seem to be working this time. They don't seem to be working this time. His soul is refusing to be comforted. He says in verse 3, I remember God. You might think that that expresses a positive thought. But notice the next phrase, and was troubled. I remembered God, he says, and was troubled. Perhaps this alludes to what the psalmist knew was true of God and how his present troubles seemed to contradict with it. Maybe the psalmist understood a principle that we find in the Bible, which is do right and God will bless. And yet he was doing right. He didn't seem to be blessed as a result of it. I've got to feel that there were other saints of God that felt this same way. Can you imagine what Naboth was thinking in his mind as he stood there and those false witnesses testified against him because they were paid off by Jezebel? Remember, he wouldn't sell his vineyard to Ahab. And so Ahab threw a fit about it. And Ahab's wife Jezebel says, I'll get you that vineyard. And she hired the 2 sons of Belial, a couple of liars, to testify against Naboth. And when they did, he was declared guilty and he was stoned to death. Can you imagine what might have been going through the mind of Naboth as he stood there about ready to lose his life? He did what was right and refused to sell his land to Ahab. He said, the Lord forbid me. God was the one that wouldn't allow him to do that. And he stood up and he did what was right. And yet what happens? Not what the child of God would normally expect. People lying about him. Those in authority seeking to take his life from him so that they could get what they want. I'm sure that Naboth's spirit at that particular time was overwhelmed. What about John the Baptist? Here he was, and we talked about him recently in our Sunday morning services. Here he was, the greatest born of women, the Bible says. A preacher of righteousness, preparing the way of the Messiah. And yet, he finds himself, I assume, in a dark, damp, cold dungeon cell. We know that he had some struggles because he began to wonder whether or not Jesus was the Messiah, and he had already declared him to be so. Perhaps what it was is John the Baptist's soul began to be overwhelmed. Perhaps these old saints of God began to ponder who God was. They remembered God, and that only troubled their soul. Because knowing what they knew about God, they could not understand why whatever was going on in their life was taking place. The psalmist says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And don't think that that word complain carries the same meaning that it does when we use it today. He wasn't like a little child complaining about what he was going through, but the word complained here means to muse. It means to think upon. It means to meditate, and he evidently could not make sense of what was happening. And we don't know exactly what was happening here in the psalmist's lives, and I'm certain that God does this on purpose so that these particular words, so this particular psalm, could apply to many different situations in our lives. The principle is this: he's overwhelmed. He seeks help, comfort, but he can't find it. Knowing everything that he knows about God doesn't seem to alleviate his concern, doesn't seem to answer his questions. And even as he sits here and muses and tries to figure out why this is happening and how this is making him better, he can't make any sense of it. And so he's overwhelmed. He says in verse 4, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. He was so troubled he couldn't speak. You remember Jeremiah got to a place in his life where he just was going to keep his mouth shut. I'm just not talking anymore. I'm not preaching anymore. All it does is get me in trouble. He got to this point. Job, I believe, got to that same point as well, where he knew how he felt, but he wasn't going to say it because he knew how he felt was so awful it might discourage other saints of God. The psalmist was in such a fix, he couldn't even speak. He couldn't find comfort. He couldn't even speak. He says in verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. He meditates upon the past. And I tell you, I find something honorable in this. I find something honorable throughout this chapter of the Bible about this psalmist. Yes, he was discouraged, and yes, he was in despair, but you know what? He never sought to yield to that despair. He always appears to be seeking and searching to find comfort, to find help, to find relief. You never find him cursing God. Instead, he cries out to God. You never find him finding fault with God. Instead, he seeks after God. I've considered the days of old. I'm thinking about those old saints of God and how they remained steadfast and how you blessed them as they remained faithful. But it appears, at least at this point, in his musing, he was still not comforted. It says in verse number 6, I call to remembrance. This is something that happened in the past, my song in the night. This wasn't his first try. He went through other valleys, other dark times. And in the midst of those dark times, he was able to find a song. But he says this time, I don't have a song. This time there's no music playing in the night. My tears, they don't refresh my soul. He says, I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Again, the man went after answers. He went after logic. He went after something that would help him. But he didn't find answers. Instead, all he found were questions. You see, the first six verses give to us the feelings of the psalmist. But here in verses 7, 8, and 9, we have the questions of the psalmist. And these questions originate from the way that he feels in the first part of the psalm. And he says, will the Lord cast off forever? In other words, has he forsaken me? And will he be favorable no more? Will he no longer accept me? Will he no longer find pleasure in me? Will I no longer be the apple of his eye? Verse 8 says, is his mercy clean gone forever? He's wondering whether or not God's mercy has run out. He's wondering whether God will ever extend it to him again. He says, doth his promise fail forevermore? Does God just not keep his promises anymore? That's the way it appeared to the psalmist. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies, Selah? Has he? He has all these questions, but I tell you what, I don't want you to miss this. That in him asking all of these questions, he demonstrates that he knows who God is. He knows that God does not cast off the believer. There never comes a time where God forsakes his people. God always looks favorably upon his people. He will continuously extend to them mercy. He always keeps his promises. He is always gracious. And the psalmist knew that. That's why he's asking these questions. Because he can't seem to reconcile how God is all these things and why he then has to suffer what he's suffering at the present time. He can't reconcile the two. And he's spending day and night trying to do so. The psalmist understood what it says in Psalm 103 and verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. That's who God is. But due to the limited view of the psalmist, he cannot determine how his present circumstances fit into God's plan and God's promises. But I want you to notice what he resolved to do. He had the psalmist's feelings, he had his questions, and now we have his resolutions. Again, in the first six verses, you find the word I repeatedly. Verses 7, 8, 9, you find question marks repeatedly. But in verses 10 through verse number 12, you find the phrase I will repeatedly. And I said, this is my infirmity. Referring to what he just said, this is my infirmity, this is my sin, this is my shortcoming, the way that I feel. It's not God's fault. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will, he says, I will remember. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. He says, this is what I will do. No matter how I feel, and even though my questions do not seem to have answers, this is what I'm going to do. Basically, I'll remember. He says, I'll remember the works of God of old. And you know, as you study the Psalms, you'll find that that's one of the things that the psalmist repeatedly do to try to find comfort. They look at the past. And if we were to take the time to read the rest of the psalm, you'll find that he meditates upon how God redeemed his people, how he brought them out of Egypt, how he then miraculously delivered them there at the shores of the Red Sea. He remembered how God acted and behaved towards his people. He says, that's what I'm going to do. Again, he never quit. He never cursed God. He never used these things as a motivation to do anything sinful. He said, I'm just going to meditate on the good things of God. You know, as I studied this, I thought about the blind man in John chapter 9 that was healed. Evidently not an intelligent man, not an educated man. That's probably what you would expect since he had been blind from his birth. And now here he was 40 years of age. All he could do was to beg. and live off of the charity of others, but now he had received his sight. A great thing had been done for him, and yet he was thrown in the midst of a trial right off the bat. Here this uneducated man that had never seen, had to beg for his living, was now standing in the midst of the religious rulers who were questioning him with one question after another, after another, after another, and he could make no sense of their questions. He didn't have the answers. He didn't know what to say. But he never forfeited to them. He never said, "You must be right. Jesus must be a devil or a son of fornication." No, what he said was, "Look, there's a lot of things I don't know, but this one thing I do know, that I was blind and now I see." And I tell you what, when you are overwhelmed in your spirit and you cannot seem to find comfort anywhere, I would encourage you to look back to the day that Jesus saved you. Look back and see how your life has changed. Look back and remember all the ways in which God blessed you. Folks, if God is blessing you today, you better take note of it. Because there may come a day when you need those blessings to fall upon. There may come a day where you need to be encouraged and you need to be able to look back and to see what God has done for you. That's what the psalmists do repeatedly. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said in regards to this, he said, "I'm not always for a man creating a diary because he tends to write down some things that just are not true." But he said, "For this reason, because of what we find in this psalm, a man ought to keep a diary when God blesses him. So that when the valleys cloud your vision, you can look back and see what God has done for you." I believe verse 13 begins the last section then of the psalm. This is the psalmist's meditations. Verse 12 said, "I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." I want you to notice the phrase or the words that are found consistently in this section. It's the words "thy," "thou," and "thee." That's a stark contrast from what we found in the beginning of the psalm, isn't it? It was I feel this way. I feel this way. As a result of his feelings, he had questions. But those questions, he said, were his infirmities, and he resolved to just continue to do what he knew was right. And now we find in this section him focused exclusively upon God Almighty. He says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled." Talking about the waters there of the Red Sea, going back in two heaps so the people could cross over. You see, as the psalmist comes to the end here, his focus goes from on himself to on God. And that's ultimately what is going to keep the psalmist moving forward for the Lord. And when we feel overwhelmed, that's what we need to do. We have a tendency to focus on ourselves, to focus on our infirmities, to focus on our hardships, and how, like Elijah, sit there and have a little pity party. But God came to Elijah when he thought he was the only one serving God, and said, "No, there's many others." And God fed Elijah I don't know, maybe that encouraged him. Again, the psalmist, how did he feel? Overwhelmed. As a result, he asked some of the same questions that you and I will ask in the midst of certain trials that we face. But I don't care whether your spirit is in despair. That does not give you the justification to quit God. You resolve to do what the psalmist did, and that is remember the Lord and meditate upon Him. Don't allow your emotions to lead you. The psalmist didn't. He felt this way, but he didn't let his feelings lead him around. He didn't walk by sight, because he couldn't see how God was using his present circumstances to keep his promises. But he walked by faith. And he knew that God was good, that God was always good. And that no matter if he could make sense of it or not, he was going to stay focused on the Lord and going to continue to serve him. And if you'll do that, folks, you'll never regret it. Again, I don't know where you are spiritually, whether you're in the midst of a trial or not. But if you're not, chances are, at some point in the future, you will be. And when you are, you need to remember the words of this psalm. Because the words of this psalm can give you great hope and great hope. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. Thank you for the words of this psalm and how encouraging they can be to us, Lord, sometimes if for no other reason, to know that there have been other believers who have felt like we feel. To know that there have been other believers who have asked the same types of questions that we have asked. And yet, Lord, you saw them through as they meditated upon thy great works and thy works towards these believers in the past. And God, I pray, when we find ourselves in the midst of a trial or a trouble that we don't seem to understand, and that our questions seem to go unanswered, that we'll look back to the day that you saved us and how you filled our heart with joy then and how you've changed our life since. So God, take this message, take the words of this psalm, and use them in our lives. And I'll thank you for it, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.